Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So let's start on the Urban Meyer front. What did you make of that saga, it coming to an end, the Titans mercifully putting him out of his misery as head coach of the Jaguars? Have you ever seen anything quite like what we saw with Urban Meyer in less than one season?
No, I think that's like the single most dysfunctional everything example of being a leader I've ever seen in the NFL. And it just got to a point where it was like, okay, what else is going to come out? And it, for the mercy of the players and the people in that building, it finally came to an end. And now whoever comes in has a big mess to clean up. But they that mess could look really nice, because I think that organization has some talent there. And there's room for growth. And I can't wait to see who comes in there and has the job of cleaning up that place.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hire Byron Leftwich right now. Does that make too much sense? I mean, is that too obvious?
That would be a really good match. I think that organization may need someone that is already established as a head coach, and that's why Doug Peterson just makes too much sense to me. But obviously, Leftwich, you know, being a former quarterback, coming up, you know, in Bruce Arians' system, knowing, you know, that he has a championship pedigree, that would be a really good match as well.
So, TD, what stands out to you about this matchup for the Titans against the Steelers? Obviously, this is a Steelers team that, at this point, is going to need every win they can get coming up down the stretch. So, whatever they've got left in the tank, I expect you're probably going to see it on Sunday. What stands out to you about this matchup against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, the thing that stands out to me is their weapons on the perimeter. I think, you know, when you look at Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Pat Freiermuth, even when they, you know, they bump him outside and run slants and fades and stuff with him, those guys give you just a wide range of tests as a DB and as a defensive player. So that's what really stands out to me. And then you pair that with how quickly Roethlisberger is able to get rid of the football and then look in the red zone. I mean, they make it happen down there. I think they're like 12th in the league, scoring touchdowns at 62% of the time. And they're passing in the red zone 67% of the time. So this isn't the same Steelers as they used to be, right? They're a passing team and not as much of a rushing team. But, you know, there's just a lot of inconsistency there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about, you know, dead last defensively, giving up 497 a rush, and then, you know, 29th on offensively, only getting 37 a rush. I mean, we all know Najee Harris is special talent. I mean, is this as simple, TD, as like their offensive line is just a problem? I mean, or is that too simplistic?
I think it's a mix of a lot of things, really. I mean, overall, Najee Harris is having a solid year. You know, he's on track to get 1,000 yards. And, yeah, the average per carry it definitely isn't there. But it's, you know, it's a variety of reasons. You know, it's not just the offensive line. There's a holes there that you know, can be punched through. But it just isn't happening consistently. And that's really the whole thing. Consistency is something that team is lacking.
TD, what's your best sense on Bud Dupree and his chances of playing in this game coming up on Sunday?
Oh, I'll be very surprised if he doesn't play. You know, watching him on Wednesday, he looked really good, like really strong. And anytime you have a core injury, right, a guy that's dealing with that or recovered from that, and you still see him on the sled, that lets you know, like, he's good. And that's what, you know, they spent a little bit of time. Coach Crow had them on the sled, and he was hitting that. And there weren't any issues, you know, and he has that bounce to him. It's good to see, because you know, you want a guy to get an opportunity to show his worth, and I think he'll get that starting this week. And hey, man, you know, going against a team that he used to play for, I'm sure he's jacked up for that. So it's very likely he plays in my book.
Well, let's stay at that level of the defense, TD. David Long, it's been a long time for David Long with the hamstring. Has not gone on IR, but he's just not out there. Wondering what you think of that, but also – we saw Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans play well against Jacksonville. Obviously, those guys have played together. Now you've got a slightly better number 33 than the last two 33s, which were Brady Breeze and Jonathan Joseph, in Zach Cunningham. First of all, what do you think of Long? But then also, what kind of role do you think is realistic for Cunningham in his first game with the Titans?
Yeah, for Long, that's really a mystery. You know, that hamstring injury, I've seen him twice since that Rams game. Once he came onto the field during one of their walkthrough practices, and then the other time I peeked in the window there as we were walking out, and I saw him, you know, on the stair-stepper machine. So, obviously, he's working to get back, but, you know, whatever is up with that hamstring, it's not allowing him to get on the field, even to practice. So that's a tough situation. Hopefully he can come back soon because he's a really good player and he's fun to watch. Now, as far as Cunningham, the good thing is a lot of the things that, you know, he's going to be asked to do in the defense are things that he's done before, and there's similarities. The main thing is just like getting that technology, the terminology down, and being able to, you know, relay that and process it and all of those things. I think he plays a limited role. You know, you have Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans. You know, those guys played a pretty good game last week, and I'm sure they're looking to carry that over to this game. But I think, you know, when you look at matching up against Freiermuth, matching up against Najee Harris coming out of the backfield, Cunningham, you know, is a good option for that. So I would imagine they'll have him in on some of those sub packages to match up against those guys.
Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, obviously good news that Julio Jones gets through the game healthy the last time out against the Jaguars. What's kind of that next step that you want to see from number two coming up on Sunday?
I think the next step would be just, you know, to continue to run some of those deep routes. You know, he looked really good on that post that he ran. I think it was you, Rex, or you asked him about the hop.
And, right.
And he was like, man, I was hopping because I wanted the ball because I killed the safety. And he did that. There was, you know, that whole half of the field was wide open for him. So I think it's to continue to do those and just catch the football when it comes to him and continue to block. You know, everybody, you know, talks about this guy as not being a premier receiver, which statistically is true. But, I mean, you look at some of the things he's doing without the football, and it's not what, you know, people who call him selfish and me first and those type of things, it's not what you would expect. You know, he's a really good blocker, so I think, you know, that's something else that he has to continue to do.
Is Deontay Foreman – I thought Deontay Foreman in the last game was starting to emerge as the clear, you know, best bet, and maybe a guy who – it'd be really interesting to see him – you know, with a 20-carry game, 20-plus carry game, do you think that we see that Sunday? Of course, he has to be healthy. I mean, I think he got a little bit banged up Sunday. I think he might have had a bigger number. But do you think that's where they're going to go with the running game?
Yeah, that's a tough call. This Steelers defense are giving up, what, 139 per game on the ground. So there should be opportunities. But it just seems like they have that desire to just, you know, see if Dontrell Hilliard can pop one. You know, you see them give him a series or two, even though Foreman was running the football well. That's what happened last week. And then you have McNichols to here. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Wilkins gets the elevation also. So, for me, you know, it's tough to see 20 carries. I would like to see it, you know, to see what this guy could do. But I think it's just going to continue to be that committee approach.
TD, last thing for you here. As you look at coming down the stretch here for the Titans, we've had this question all week, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. Big game Saturday between the Patriots and the Colts. If you're a Titans fan, who are you rooting for in that game? You rooting for Indy to get it done and take down New England, or are you rooting for the Patriots to really just get a chance to wrap up this division?
You know, the thing that's interesting is if you pair that with a Titans win, you can't go wrong either way.
Yep.
Right? Because the Titans win and the Patriots win, then, you know, the division is pretty much sealed. It's locked up. But then the Colts win and the Titans win. And, you know, the number one seed is looking good. So, I don't know. Me personally, if I was a Titans fan, I would root for the Patriots and then just hope that they lose to the Bills the following week. That's how I would look at it, because this Colts team, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think anybody wants to see them.
Yeah.
You know, because how they're built defensively and running the football. I mean, they're basically the 2019 Titans. You know, you don't want to see that team.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, is our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Hey, TD, hold on before you go. Did you say that? Did you say anything like that about the Colts when you were with Jared this week?
I believe I did. Yeah, I did, actually.
I mean, did he lose his mind? He thinks they're like a 2-14 team.
Yeah, and he thinks Frank Reich is a terrible coach.
Yes,
Carson Wentz is the worst quarterback in the league. You got to sometimes just got to let those guys just let them live, man. Let them live.
I don't think we could have ended that any better. Well done, TD. Hope you have a great weekend, brother.
It. See you in Pittsburgh.
All right, now take it easy. Yes, sir.
Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. That ended very well.
Frank Reich sucks! Carson Wentz sucks!
By the way, Chris is upset with me on the text line that we're kicking Urban Meyer while he's down. It's going to be bad karma for me.
Urban Meyer kicked himself.
Urban Meyer kicked, groped, and did all kinds of things to his own coaching tenure. We haven't even talked about Urban that much today.
No, but I did open it up by asking him about it, by asking TD about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of big news. What are we supposed to say about Urban Meyer right now?
He's a swell guy. He'll land on his feet.
I mean, God. Yeah. God forbid we blame the guy who screwed the whole thing up, you know?
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Bowl season is the best season. ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoff, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Today, the Bahamas Bowl featuring MTSU and Toledo. MTSU taking on
Brian
Toledo.
That's how Brian would say it. Yeah. We're about to take on Toledo.
About to take on those mighty Toledo. Yeah, out there in the Bahamas Bowl. That'll be on ESPN 94.9 with an 11 a.m. kickoff. So shout out to MTSU for the Bahamas Bowl. That's good stuff there.
That is very good
stuff.
Time
you get up in the Bahamas Bowl, fine with me.
You got to love that.
For a full list of games carried on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowl games. We will be picking MTSU and Toledo coming up a little bit later in Pigskin Pick'em, so looking forward to that.
Yes.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Junie, who's called in. Who's a big Steelers fan. Junie, what's going on?
What's going on? How y'all doing this morning?
We're great.
Super.
But, no, I definitely wanted to kind of call in and talk about this big matchup on Sunday. I mean, living in Nashville, being a Steelers fan, I've probably watched both these teams play all season long, so I think I got a pretty good grip on this matchup. But I'll tell you this. I think that what it's going to come down to is going to be which defensive line and which defensive front controls the line of scrimmage more. Both these teams' offensive lines haven't been playing the best, so whichever team is going to disrupt either Tannehill or Roethlisberger and can force more turnovers is going to get the win. So honestly, I can't really tell you who that is. I think this is going to be a 50-50 toss-up game because I know the Steelers are going to really want it at home with Big Ben probably planning out his last year, but you know Tennessee's really fighting for that number one seed. So whichever defensive front can dominate these struggling offensive lines in the past game is going to get this dub this weekend.
Junie,
I'll let y'all talk about it.
Appreciate you, brother.
Wait,
thanks for calling in.
Don't leave. Junie. Why are the Steelers one of the worst teams in the league in stopping the run this year? I never expect to see that from a Steelers defense.
Well, I'll tell you that, Rex Rhodes. Let me give it to you here. So, Stephon Tuitt was one of the best 3-4 defensive ends.
Oh, yeah.
Last season, he had 11 sacks. He's going through a lot of stuff with injury and personal things in his life, with losing his brother tragically. We also lost Tyson Alualu, who was our big nose tackle. We haven't really found a guy in the middle to replace him. And a bunch of injuries in the defensive front with guys just in our depth pieces on defensive line. It hasn't been the same. Devin Bush coming off an ACL. These guys, all these things accumulated in the front seven have kind of sent this team reeling in the run game. But I think since then they've been a little bit better. The Minnesota game was a little bit of an outlier coming off, playing Baltimore, then having to travel Minnesota on a Thursday night. I mean, anytime you play Baltimore as a Pittsburgh Steeler, you're always going to be reeling that next week, especially when it's a Thursday night game against a big physical running team like that.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Junie. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Junie.
Interesting. We'll see if they can run the ball this
week. Sound like a lot of excuses out of Junie there for the Steelers. No, that all made sense. I mean, injury, usually in the NFL, you know, if there's some like performance-related thing that's way below expectation, there's like injuries as part of the answer. Pretty safe bet.
Like Nate Davis?
Well, there you go. Same guy.
Same guy.
Same line coach. Pass protection's the same.
Your Jared impression continues to get better.
I'm honing it. I'm perfecting it.
Pretty good at it, Rex Red.
Thank you.
So you brought up that was extremely loud. You brought up Byron Leftwich as someone who the Jags may take a look at in terms of a head coaching position. Makes a lot of sense. Obviously, he's done a great job down there in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, and also used to be the quarterback of Jacksonville, so knows what he would be walking into from a franchise standpoint. I like that. Thought about that yesterday. We did talk about Dabo yesterday. I think we were joking on that one. Who do Titans fans not want to see? Is it Byron Leftwich? Like, who is the team? And I just said Leftwich. Leftwich.
Check your right watch.
Left one and your right.
It's Byron time.
Really just a great day for me today. Really just jumping all over it. Toledo. And Leftwich.
Hey, you got my last name right every time again.
I did. Anyway, who is the coach that the Jacksonville Jaguars could hire with Sean Kahn's great track record in doing so that Titans fans would be scared of? Is there anybody that comes to mind?
Well, that's a really interesting, of course, TD covered Doug Peterson in Philly, and he's one of those cases. It's really interesting. I mean, I still swear when I die, on my deathbed, I may be like, that Doug Peterson Super Bowl is the best coaching I've ever seen. Like, he was awfully good for a while, and then, the coach often gets the Ziggy, even if it's not the coach's fault. Maybe it was his fault. There was stuff with Wentz and everything, but pretty good coach. I think if you're a Titans fan, I would not be excited if Doug Peterson came in there. And Doug Peterson, of course, has had success, with young quarterbacks. But Leftwich or Leftwich is, I mean, maybe it's too much. Like, the whole former player thing is, it almost, to me, is like, especially in the NFL, it's like, just move on from that. Like, former player thing with a college program, sometimes like that is really helpful. Navigate the particular place, the boosters, the board. I mean, like, there's some advantages someone who knows. But in the NFL, it's just like, it just get the best coach.
Yeah, like, can you coach or can you not?
Yeah. I think Leftwich is absolutely on course to be a head coach.
Agreed.
I think he's been very good. And you can sit there and say, Brady. But, no, I mean, like, I really like what he's done there. So that's, like, the obvious name that jumps out. There's always the Eric Bieniemy angle. At some point, he's going to move on from Kansas City. I don't know. Is there anybody? I'm probably not thinking of somebody really good who's available. You got somebody?
Bill O'Brien's out there.
Bill O'Brien.
He's offensive coordinator for Alabama. So maybe he's looking to get back in the game.
Well, Bill,
he's an established head coach.
Bill O'Brien has gone through the Nick Saban car wash, and he's coming out the other end looking pretty good. So he's going to get a job.
Yeah.
As long as you don't let him do any GMing for you, you might be okay.
In all seriousness, I mean, there's not a name that really stands out to me in terms of, yes, that's the guy they should go after. I do like Leftwich. I think that's something you take a look at. Doug Peterson's not a bad option. There's nobody out there that I'm like, oh boy, if the Jags get them, look out. That immediately comes to mind, and partially because I don't really trust to make the Jags to make a good hire here. So, I mean, just based on track record, that's not gone overly well for Shad Khan thus far.
It hasn't. But I think it would be hard. Now they can, but I think it would be hard to screw it up. There's enough viable coaches out there who have track records in the NFL. So that you don't have to go out for like the big splash thing like he did with Meyer.
Well, it's not going to be worse, I can tell you that.
That's true. That would be very difficult to achieve.
Jeff Fisher. Dennis texting and says Jeff Fisher to the Jags. What do you think about that?
Jeff Fisher's out there.
He's out there.
I mean, his name like pops up with so many openings, especially college, actually, lately. But, you know, he's there. So... sure. What would that be? That'd be crazy. Jeff Fisher all of a sudden was your division rival in Jacksonville. No, I mean, seriously, I think Leftwich just makes less sense. But Peterson is really interesting. I don't even – like, what is Peterson doing this year? Is he somewhere? Is he an analyst somewhere? Is he an assistant somewhere?
That's a good question.
I honestly have no idea. Could Daryl Bevel get – Daryl Bevel's a guy. Yeah. You know, people like Daryl Bevel.
I don't think Peterson's doing anything right now.
Okay.
According to the internets.
I mean, Peterson to me is a much better, similar situation, retread higher than like Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy's doing fine.
Yeah.
You just, look, you got Trevor Lawrence. You have to think in terms of him. You have to think purely there. What's your bet? I'm not saying he's involved in the hiring process, but that's the focus, is that you have 3 more years of him on this contract, and you've got to maximize those.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Terry Crisp, Preds TV analyst. We'll get into the game last night for the Predators against Colorado. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Terry Crisp. Crispy, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's great to talk with you. A little cool outside, so you bring some nice sunshine into my morning, you two guys. But before we start, I was having a chat with Michelle, and she was the same as I was. We were a little embarrassed with your performance at the pancake eating contest. And Michelle and I just hope that the next time you guys enter one of those, you bring your A game. You know what I mean? It's a little embarrassing. We cheered for you, but next time, bring it, fellas.
I don't know if you were cheering for me. We were cheering for Rex Road, and he couldn't even get one down.
It's totally fair. But Big Joe cheated, and we didn't cheat. Did we at least get a nod for that?
Big Joe, when he hit those 4 pancakes, I said, you know what? You got to admire a guy who tried.
That's right. That's right.
Then put him in jail.
Crispy, there's nobody I'd rather be in a pancake contest with than you. So I appreciate you joining us for that last week. It was good stuff. Crispy, a crazy day yesterday, obviously, with COVID cases left and right for the Predators and then for the Avalanche as well. And yet the Predators find a way to go out there and get another win. What did you like about what you saw from, albeit a very different group last night from the Predators?
You know what? I got to tell you, from start to finish, I enjoyed the hockey game. I mean, the Avs came in here. They were down the same as we were. They only dressed 16 players. We had made our emergency calls down with all the guys we had missing to bring up from Milwaukee. The whole coaching staff was out of it. And you're sitting there and you're talking with the group, with Mace and Willie and Pete and all those guys. What are we going to have? It was a hockey game, but and our guys pulled out. The thing that I liked was the guys, like when they brought up Smith and Grimaldi and Glass and then Novak, Olivier. Those guys that they brought in, they played their hearts out. I mean, they worked out there. It was an entertaining game to watch from start to finish, and the best part of it is we came out with a win.
How close were you to being behind the bench yesterday, Crispy? I thought that may give you a call at some point.
You know, I talked with Michelle. We discussed. I said, you know, I'll be honest with you. David Poyle and I talked on the phone for a while, And but we were a couple of million apart, so we couldn't come to agreement.
Nicely done.
But think about the job Carl Taylor and Scott Ford and Scotty Nichols, those three guys that came in, stepped in behind the bench, all hockey guys, all hockey minds. And everybody said, oh, well, but we have to remember that Scotty Nichols knew these players. Scott Ford had played with some of them. And Carl Taylor had coached most of this team. So when they slid in behind that bench last night, they were familiar. They were comfortable. And watching them perform together, they did a magnificent job. So kudos to those guys coming in for that one, and they got to go right back at it again tonight.
Well, yeah, I want to ask you about that too. I mean, Crispy, let's go back to the 80s, and you're coaching the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds or the Moncton Golden Flames. And imagine you were put in that situation. Like, what would that have been like? What do you think it was like for those guys to be kind of thrown into that?
You know what? Scotty Nichols, he's been through the ringer, so he knew what was going on that bench. Carl Taylor was really neat. He said when he came in, this is his first NHL game ever, and he said this has been his dream, to get it and stand behind the bench in an NHL game as a head coach. And we were sort of really wrapped up in that one, because having known your first NHL game, your first behind the bench, I could really sympathize with them. And the way that they run their team last night, the way they put their guys up, and the way the team came together for those three coaches. I mean, they played hard for them the whole game. Saros threw out one of his best performances. Everyone is a best performance, but he played unbelievable the first period to keep us in it. And it was just sort of one of those nights where you're looking up and down saying, oh, this is first, this is different. It was enjoyable, a very enjoyable night.
Crispy, obviously, I mean, Colton Sissons is a guy that's been around here for a long time at this point, and he's very good in the role they ask him to play, but it also feels like every time that they ask him to move up, he's pretty good. He ends up with 3 assists last night. How valuable is it to have a guy like Colton Sissons that can move up and down pretty much anywhere you need him to play in the lineup?
As a coach, it's a dream, and you like to have like two of those. Like, we used to have Hornqvist here who played anywhere. Sissons can do that. Granlin, I love him also. He and Sissons are two twins out there, the way they play, and you move them around, the coaches use them for power play, penalty kill, face-offs, you name it. But the nice part about Sissons is each time he's getting more confidence and more confidence, and the more responsibilities the coaches put on, the more he answers the bell for them. And that's what you're looking for in your players that come in, your young ones, your new ones, to see that they're getting better, and Sissons definitely lives up to the billing.
So, big picture, Crispy. I mean, we're starting to talk about, gosh, this team is, sitting there at second place. They've won 6 in a row. They look like a team that night in, night out can, compete with / beat anyone in this league. Like, do you look at the overall performance of this team this year? Is it in any way surprising to you?
Not surprising. Because I always go back to last year when we played the Hurricanes in the playoffs. I was so proud of this team. Our guys took Hurricane, one of the best teams in the league, I say, for an all-around game. We took them right to the wall. And I'm probably one of the few guys. No, I'm not. But in my heart, we could have knocked them out. We could, if we, in the 5th and 6th game, was ours to win, and we couldn't get it done in the 3rd period. But that told me last year, the way we ended, that if we have that same response and get a couple other guys, bring up their game, get a little better, some of the younger ones, et cetera, we're going to be all right. And then, you get injuries and you get different things happening in and out. And then suddenly they start to hit stride again. And this is the last night, unfortunately, Lindsay Riley she's on COVID call and couldn't be on the desk. And so Kara Hammer took over. She had interviewed Coach Taylor. And he says to her, and I like the word that Kara threw out. He says, yep. He says, our team down in Milwaukee's won, I think, 4 straight. These guys have won 5 straight. He said, we're on a heater. So I said to Kara, maybe you just bought a new buzzword in whatever a heater is. That's what they're on. So obviously our guys are on a heater.
Terry Crisp on the line with us.
You guys can discuss that one.
Oh, yeah. They didn't call cigarettes heaters in the 70s?
Well, you know what? That was what one of the set guys said. And I said, I watched a lot of gangster movies, I think the heaters are done. You can throw that out to your people, see what they come up with.
That's right. Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Crispy, last thing for you here. You've obviously watched Roman Josi play a lot of hockey. He's been around for a long time, been a really good player for a long time. Is he still getting better? Like, as you watch him play, is he still getting better, even at his age?
Yeah, you know why he's getting better now? Because having been captain and having had a lot of pressure put on him in a lot of different situations, he's matured into that role. And now you can just tell whether he's on the ice or whether he's on the public or whether you're interviewing him. He has that air of confidence, that nice, quiet. I look at him like a quiet, sort of like a Mike Fisher, when Mike Fisher played. Didn't say a lot, smiled a lot, and got the job done wherever you want him, every game. Game in and game out, you knew that he was going to be there for you.
Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Friday morning at 8:30. Crispy, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Oh, anytime, guys. And please, guys, no more embarrassment. Hey, practice uni or something. Thank you. You're great on the radio, but pancakes are bad.
Thank you.
Normally, I embarrass myself by eating too much, Crispy, so at least, you know, I got that going for me.
Have a great day, guys. Stay dry, and all of our people out there, please. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Thanks, Crispy. We appreciate you. The best in the business, Terry Crisp, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road.
He was a good MC. He was a good MC of the pancake eating contest. And the disappointment was clear in his eyes, though, that day.
No Miss Nashville's Best NFL Pregame Show live from Corner Pub downtown this Sunday. The NFL Pregame Show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub downtown at 151 Fifth Avenue North. Prior to the Titans taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, the NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds back in action tonight against Chicago. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 to guess the goal scorer for tonight's game. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators in action tonight, the second half of a back-to-back. They will take on the Chicago Blackhawks. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 6:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A quick standings update. Joe Rex Road on the board again last night in Pick to Click, selecting Philip Forsberg. He is in first place, up to 8 correct answers. Joe Rex Road's on a roll.
This is the only thing I don't suck at. I suck in fantasy football this year. Pigskin Pick'em, you and I both are equally, like exactly equally poopy.
Dog water.
Yeah.
But cheeks, guys.
Yeah,
come on.
Cheeks in all the way. Yeah. But, yeah, feeling good about this one.
Listeners get on the board last night as well with Roman Josi scoring a goal. So they're up to 5. Robbie Stanley remains at 4. Michelle at 3. So Rex Road creating a little separation, at least for Michelle and I, in this competition. The listeners hanging right there around.
Well, I'd like to thank Michelle for opening the door for me to take Forsberg last. I appreciate it.
I fumbled the bag so hard with that one. In my head, I thought he was out for some reason, and then you said his name, and I just knew it was game over.
You just had that feeling of dread that overcame you.
The feeling of dread. You guys said, thanks, Michelle, for opening up this door for Joe, and then immediately I knew.
Yes.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Bob from Nashville. Bob, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. I'm picking against my hometown team, the Blackhawks, where I grew up. But I've become a Fred fan. I've been here long enough. I'm a big Fred fan.
Very nice. Okay. Bob is about to give it to his hometown here. I like it. Bob, who is your pick tonight for the Nashville Predators to score a goal?
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one, but I guess I got to go with the captain. I'm going to take Josi.
So, Josi, your selection, coming off a pretty nice goal last night as well. Bob, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. Bob. So, Roman Josi on the board for Bob. Joe Rexrode, that sets you up. You're up first.
Forsberg! Thank you, bye.
Philip Forsberg.
Thanks, bye. Forsberg, okay.
Philip Forsberg, the selection by Joe Rexrode once again. Who's on the eater right now.
Don't let me down, Phil.
Let him down, Phil.
Oh, boy. I mean, it's hard. I mean, Roman Yossi is a good pick by Bob. He's playing pretty well.
Yes.
But guy might have a future in this game.
Might be okay.
I will go with somebody who was around the net distributing the puck last night. I'm giving it to him. Give me Colton Sissons. I think Colton Sissons finds the back of the net tonight. I will go with Colton Sissons in his elevated role in this game.
I thought about Colton Sissons.
Yes.
I don't hate it.
I'm going to go with Sissons. So Forsberg, Yossi, and Sissons off the board. Michelle Knezovic, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, we're going to go another week probably without a point, but Ellie Tolvanen. Yeah. Those were my picks in order. In my head, I was thinking Forsberg, then Yossi, then Sissons. But you know what? Ellie Tolvanen, I have faith. Let's get a goal tonight.
So you're telling me that Robbie stole Colton Sissons from you?
Well, yeah, because I was listening to the play-by-play last night.
First time that's happened.
And I heard his name a bunch, and I was like, okay, I'm going to pick him tomorrow. But here we are. Robbie Stanley beat me to it. I don't like losing, so I'm having a hard time with this.
Yeah, you're destroying us in picks and pick'em.
It's going
to
be all right.
In like a half hour, you get to lord over us again. So, you know, come on.
All is well.
It's going to be okay. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Bob selecting Roman Yossi, Joe Rexroad selecting Philip Forsberg, Robbie selecting Colton Sissons, Michelle Knezovic selecting Ellie Tolvanen.
Nate asked on the text line what was most impressive about last night for the Preds.
Well, look, the ability to pull yourself together and win that game when you're incredibly shorthanded, you've got an entirely different coaching staff. I mean, just logistically, there's a lot of things that are impressive about being able to do that. You know, I said it before. It's not like Colorado wasn't dealing with some of the same issues. And, I mean, look at the lineup they had. You go 11 forward, 7D last night, which is a different way to go about doing things. But a lot of guys you had on the ice, NHL-quality players. So it's not like you had the entirety of the Milwaukee Admirals out there like some made it seem like.
Name names. Who made it seem like that?
There are many people on Twitter who made it seem like that yesterday. It's too long to name names.
What was Facebook like, I wonder?
Yeah. Now, that doesn't take away from what we saw. I thought it was incredibly impressive what they did last night. And I, you know, Forsberg, they needed him to step up and have a monster game, and he did. I thought he played really well. Him, Sissons, and Janot together looked really good together, and that was 5-on-5 and on the power play. So, I mean, you know, the bumper play for Janot's goal from Forsberg to Sissons to Janot, for guys that really don't play together all that much when you're talking about Forsberg and Sissons and Janot, pretty good. Pretty good stuff there on that play, and I'm really impressed, and I said this yesterday before the game, I really, really like the fortitude of this group and how they're able to overcome stuff. That was not the case 2 years ago. We've talked a lot about that. This team, still not the most talented team they've ever put out there, but I like the makeup of it a whole lot.
What's the bigger difference? What's the biggest viewing enjoyability difference? And I don't think enjoyability is a word, but I don't care. The Preds now compared with 2 years ago, because I think last year we saw the transition where it was like, okay, hey, this team has some gumption. The Preds from 2 years ago, which were terribly hard to watch compared to now, or Vols football 2020 versus 2021?
I'd give the edge to the Vols there because it's like about as different as it gets in terms of the watchability.
It's a one-year switch,
and it's 1 year. But, I mean, I think it's a great comparison because, again, just the makeup of the Predators is so different. And one thing that stands out now, they're always in the battle. Like, they have had maybe, like, one or two periods this year where I've looked around and said, yeah, that wasn't their best stuff in terms of just the effort that they bring to the table. Other than that, you know, they're going to get beat some nights because it happens in the NHL, and I still believe that there are teams that are way more talented than the Predators are. But I like, for the most part, the approach that they've had. I mean, 2 years ago, there were games and shifts that would go by, and you're just like, what are they doing out there? Like, looks like they're just out there going through the motions. And the minute something goes bad, they just take their ball and run home. That to me, they were so soft. And we talked about that at the time, just the softness that the team had, both physically – I think mentally, more importantly. Like, it's one thing to be physically soft. I mean, there have been teams that have won Stanley Cup championships that are not that physically imposing to play against. So yeah. It's not necessarily something that's required to win. you do have to be mentally tough, and this team was not mentally tough. This team today, very tough out there for the Predators in both respects, and I like it. It's a lot of fun to watch.
My answer would be UC Soros, but I think,
pretty good too.
I think your answer was very good. And that's the mental toughness thing is harder to put a finger on. I guess it would be anyway than physical toughness. Obviously, you swap out like Arvidsson and Ellis, and you swap in, you know, Janot, and I mean, like, you know, they're a bigger team, they're a heavier team, and all that stuff. But why is the mental toughness better? I mean, it's still the same core, you know, Johansson, Josi, Forsberg. Why? What's the explanation for the mental toughness coming that far around?
Well, I think there's a lot that goes into it. I think some of it is the fact that they have not been very good in terms of some of their individual play the last few years. And you got, you know, we talked about it with Duchesne and Johansson. Like, you got a couple of choices at that point. You can just fold up, or you can try to fight your way through it. And typically, if you get to this point in your life where you're a professional athlete and you've worked to get to the National Hockey League, a lot of times you're fighting your way through it. And I think to their credit, they've done that. I think John Hines deserves credit. I mean, sometimes you have to show some tough love, and I don't think there's any question about it. He did when he first got here. I remember the game in Vancouver where they're just getting shelled, and he turns around and he says, all right, Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg, Arvidsson, hit the bench, and you're not getting up. And they didn't get up. Like, they barely played in that game. Like, I think a shakeup of that variety was necessary with this team, and it didn't happen overnight. We've talked about Duchesne, and I still think last year, towards the end of the year, it was pretty obvious that him and John Hines were not on the same page. I think it's obvious now that they are. It's a work in progress, but I think Hines deserves a lot of credit for what we've seen.
Yeah, it keeps coming back to him a lot on all this stuff, which it's hard to argue otherwise.
You know? Although Carl Taylor, undefeated as head coach of this team.
That's true. He has a better winning percentage than John Hines. I just think that's such a cool story, you know? Yeah. I mean, I know that the focus is on what should they play and all the players missing and everything, but I just think that's cool. He was coming in expecting to help out with the power play, and then he gets to be NHL head coach. Good for him.
Yeah.
And but speaking of the power play, I think we need to make this public. You know, Vingan's all itchy trigger finger with the Simpsons gif, and then they you know.
They light it up on the power play last
night?
They
light it up last night. Yeah. I don't think outside the top 10 is right. You brought this up earlier off air. If you're listening, Adam Vingan, it's got to be bottom half of the league.
Yeah, like it can't be, oh, my gosh, the Predators scored a power play goal when they're still in the top half of the league.
We're like 11th in the league, and you're going to – I know you love your Simpsons gifts.
He wants it to be like out of the top five. That's where he started. He's like, they're out of top five.
What?
I'm doing it. I'm like, my God, they're a top 10 power play.
Again, that gif was born in a very good time when they were terrible. So you can't change the standards.
He's itching to get it back out there, man.
Yeah.
Just gonna have to wait, Adam.
He just had a big trip with Arlo. You guys had him on the other day, right? I missed my Vingan time on the air.
Arlo's freaking out on the air.
Arlo on the first trip for the Preds. So. Yeah.
Did you hear that he took the first class seat?
Yeah.
Did you see the tweet?
Did you see that?
Dude, I talked to Vingan on the phone for a half hour yesterday, and I forgot to scream at him. How do you take the seat?
I don't know.
You can.
She has the baby.
You can give the seat to her.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. I'm pissed off all over again about this.
Rex rant.
That's put that one in the. I got a
few
other ones.
You got some doozies coming on Monday. Going to be looking forward to that. Maybe two Rex rants.
But that's ridiculous. What was his explanation?
I don't know.
He didn't have one?
We didn't ask
you
him about that.
You didn't put his feet to the fire? Oh, okay.
No, I think it was before.
We need to hold his feet to fire on this one.
It's Free Beer Friday served by Joyland in East Nashville. Text in the keyword JOY to the game line right now at 615-737-1025. That's JOY to 615-737-1025 and be qualified to win a Joy Beer and Joyland's new Smash Burger Deluxe. So hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get into the Tennessee Vols a little bit, including maybe some news on the quarterback front. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.